Welcome to Canada's Real Estate Podcast, your compass to all things real estate. And now, here's your hosts, Carla Brown and Adrian Schultz, Canada's real estate experts.
Welcome back to our listeners and welcome back, Adrian. You didn't know this, Adrian, but last week I decided to do an episode without you while you were off holidaying with the family.
I saw it in the file storage, but I haven't watched it yet. I'll wait for the published version.
It was a great one, a great guest that was on, but I did miss you because I know you would have had a lot to add to that conversation as well. But today we're back and back in topic, and let's talk about debt service ratios. Let's talk about debt service ratios. Yeah, we do, because we hear a lot about this in the media about how much it costs to operate and own a home. So we hear about this, and there's a lot of percentages that are being thrown out. So putting on your mortgage hat, let's talk about what really is involved when somebody's coming to you for a mortgage and what they have to basically prove in order to service the debt.
So if you're getting an insured mortgage or a high ratio mortgage, which means that you have a down payment of less than 20%, the government regulates how much of your income can go toward debt service. I'm going to speak mostly about total debt service, which CMHC and the other mortgage insurers set at 44. Okay, so let's focus on that. 44% of your income is allowed to go to your total debt service according to the government. What does total debt service mean? All of your monthly payments that you're committed to contractually, okay, your car payment, your loan payment, if you have a credit card payment, your mortgage payment, and your property tax payment, and generally a $100 a month budgeted amount for heating. That's the way the formula works. Now, I can't heat my house for $100 a month. Not sure if anyone can. So I think that's a very generous budget from an allocation perspective. But what a total debt service doesn't take into consideration is property insurance, hydro, non-heat hydro, water, repairs and maintenance. Carla, you own a home, and luckily you're married to someone who's able to maintain and fix your home. I don't have that skill, and neither does Alana, but luckily there are service providers out there. But the bottom line is that 44, there's a lot more that goes on top of that. How does the average Canadian first-time home buyer then afford to live? And I think there's a report that recently came out that created a real dilemma there.
Yeah. So it was really interesting when I was reading this report, and it was put out by RBC, and they reported, this was reporting on Q4 of 2023, that a household with a median income purchasing an average home at market price was actually using almost 63.5% of their income went towards that. So that did not leave a lot of extras, if you think about it. And then they broke it down by major city across Canada. And if anyone wants a copy of this report, just reach out to either Adrian or I. I'll make sure that you get it. But they did all of the different cities across Canada, and Vancouver, that number is 106.4%. That means if you're in Vancouver and you have a median income buying an average property at market price, you actually have to borrow money each month just to be able to pay your housing costs. That gave you no extra. So when we say that people can't afford to buy, people can't afford to buy in some of these markets. People can still afford in where we live, Adrian, you in Winnipeg, and myself in Saskatoon. But there are some major problems across Canada, which we've talked about, that someone might be able to qualify for a mortgage, but there's no way they can actually afford to live in those cities.
So that's the Canadian housing affordability issue that I think some politicians are kind of latching onto as a method to get votes. But I think what from a policy perspective, when you're setting these requirements on the mortgage insurance side, that doesn't really help anyone in real life when you have to go into debt to live. I do wonder, though, and you mentioned the BC market. I think the quirk there is that home values also had been rising so fast in that market that there were some people who took the gamble, like the slot machine gamble, thinking, yes, I may be reverse a little bit in my monthly finances, but because the value of my home is going up so fast, I'm willing to take the risk. And I think there's people that play, it's called the property ladder lottery, right? And I think BC is one of those markets where people play that game. I don't even buy lottery tickets, so I couldn't sleep at night with that.
It's interesting because it is market to market, because there's also really good statistics that show that if you were one that buy stocks versus real estate, that your average return over a number of years is higher in stocks than it is in real estate, which I was always of the mindset that because real estate always typically has this like growing rate of return every year, it is a slower rate of return than what you are going to get in stocks. So when you say, you know, the lottery ladder, as you called it, or gambling, I think we see a lot of millennials coming into the market saying, I can't afford to buy a house, so I'm going to rent a house and I'm just going to invest in different means, because they are okay with their income going like this, right? Which is what a stock does, a lot more volatile. So it's really interesting how I still believe in the value of real estate as an investment. But we've said this many, many times on this podcast, it is a long game. Don't do this if you think you're just going to buy 1 year and you're going to then sell the next year and you're going to gain. That worked in some of the markets for a period of time, I think, where we saw those big increases like you just indicated. But for the most part, it's a steady growth.
So, and when you, I think when you look at long-term averages, and I think this is proven in Europe, like there are people that rent their whole life in Europe because they have a housing affordability issue and they also can't borrow money the same way that we can in North America, which is why people came to North America in the first place, right? But you see those, they're lifetime renters, and the ones that do own property, it is transferred by general wealth transfers more so than the disposition or the selling of real estate, right? Those families that own it, hold it because they know that long-term generational hold is where you do have an advantage, I believe, over the stock markets. But we're talking 50, 100, 150 years of holding real estate. Not many of us are able to hold a stock for 100 or 150 years because many stocks haven't been around that long.
They're not going to be around. So we're going to end this soon, but the whole Europe thing, I think we could do a whole podcast on that as well, because Europe is very interesting. And I do think that Canada could learn a lot from it. Like in Europe, they don't have rent controls.
No.
Yet everybody rents, and it seems to be a much smoother way of doing things than where we've regulated different things along the way. So that's a different episode altogether. So,
and Carla, you use a real estate in some European countries, you actually use a real estate agent to help you find a rental home.
Well, yes.
Yeah. You use a realtor to find a rental home in Europe.
Yeah.
So well, it's common
in Ontario. Yeah, we've got it. We'll do a whole podcast called Europe. We'll name it Europe something. European housing comes to Canada.
Next time I go visit my Germany and family, we'll do it live from the Black Forest.
I love that. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Well, let's end this one. That is real estate in Canada.
Thanks for listening to Canada's Real Estate Podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe and give us a rating. The content shared is for informational purposes and reflects the opinions of the hosts. Connect with us online at canadasrealestatepodcast.ca. Today's episode is brought to you by Century 21 Canada, the gold standard in real estate. Explore listings, find an agent, and get advice at www.c21.ca.